Shalom Chaverim, that's Hebrew for hello friends, and Shabbat Shalom, that's Hebrew for Sabbath peace, and Chag Sameach, happy holiday. We're still celebrating the holiday of Purim. Very excited to be here today. Hey, today there's going to be a live phone interview with David Simon. He's a minister, author, and speaker. Grew up in a Jewish home, found faith in Yeshua. It's going to be wonderful, and I've got great music, so stay with me, and I'll be right back.
Shabbat, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, Shalom, Shabbat, 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 Shalom. Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Am Yisrael, Chai. 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 Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu Chai, Od Avinu, Od Avinu, Od Avinu Chai.
And for all of my first-time listeners, I'd like to tell you that Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shema Yisrael Messianic Congregation. We're made up of Jews and Gentiles that believe that Jesus, Yeshua, is the Messiah. We meet Saturday mornings at 10 o'clock a.m. We're at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half a mile south of Empire Boulevard. And while you're at Shema Yisrael, please check out the Fig Tree Messianic Bookstore and Gift Shop. This is where you can buy lots of Messianic CDs and prayer shawls, shofars, cards, jewelry, books about sharing Messiah, books all about the Jewish holidays. It's wonderful. The Fig Tree Bookstore is open every Saturday after services from around noon to 1. It's open on Tuesdays from 1 to 7 and Thursdays from 1 to 6. And if you happen to live in Lockport, Medina, or the Buffalo area, and you really enjoy Messianic worship, I encourage you to visit Congregation Berth Hadashah at 50 Alberta Drive in Amherst. Their services are every Saturday at 10:30 a.m. And I want to thank everybody who came out and supported the Variety Show and Bake Sale last week. I'm happy to tell you that we raised about $700 to help keep Bagels and Blessings on the air. If you weren't able to come, please go to www.bagelsandblessings.com. You can click on the donate button, and that'll help keep the program on the air also. So again, if you weren't able to come last week and you still want to help keep the show on the air, just go to bagelsandblessings.com, click on the donate button. And I have something else exciting to tell you about. Put this on your calendar right now. On Wednesday, April 11th, there is going to be another March of Remembrance. You're saying, what's that? It's a Christian prayer walk. And you can stand with the Jewish community in observance of Yom HaShoah, Holocaust Remembrance Day. There will be the testimony of a Holocaust survivor. And if you want more information, I suggest you go to the website, www.marchofremembrance.org. Again, this is going to be Wednesday, April 11th from 4 to 7 p.m. It's the March of Remembrance. And I know you all want to take part in that. All right, well, I mentioned in the beginning of the program that we're celebrating Purim, which is based on the book of Esther, and I want to start right now with a great song from Liberated Wailing Wall for such a time as this.
Because he was the favorite of their father, his brothers wanted Joseph in the grave. They devised a plan, and a passing caravan took Joseph down to Egypt as a slave. But the God of Abram was with Joseph. From prison he was lifted high above. When the famine came, his brothers learned his name, and Joseph spoke to them with words of love.
For such a time as this, I lived through suffering. Such a time as this, I read through pain. Now God has raised me up and shown me his grace and power. And I'm here, and God has brought you near for such a time as this.
Esther was a Jewish girl in Persia. She found herself competing for the throne. Her beauty and her grace gained her the favorite place, and Ahasuerus loved her. character as his own.
Yet there was a foe within the palace. His plot to kill the Jews was undeterred. But Mordechai had learned that Haman's anger burned and sent a note to Esther with these words.
For such a time as this,
for such a time as this, you have been chosen. And redeem us for all of us that turned away from God. He would pay the price and be the sacrifice, the offering for sin that God required. Pain and sorrow almost overwhelmed him as the time drew near for him to die. Beneath the olive trees, with mournful cries and pleas, not my will but yours, they heard him cry. Such a time as this, I'll face the suffering. For such a time as this, I choose to die. Then God will raise me up and seat me at his right hand. For it's clear that God has brought me here for such a time as this.
Yes, again, that was Liberated Wailing Wall. And pay attention to that, because that's going to be my Bible quiz later on. I'm going to ask you who said to Esther, perhaps you are called for such a time as this. That there's more to it, but that's basically going to be my question. So be listening, be listening. But if you want to know what Purim is all about, you just got to read the book of Esther. Now here's a beautiful song from Michelle Gold from the CD Who Will Go. This is called Esther's Prayer.
I've been good. I dance the dance, pray the prayers that I should, till bright as the sun your love shined on me. Open the gates of destiny. Now no more to speak quietly, or not speak at all. You made me believe that I have been called for such a time as this. I cannot resist when I have been chosen with fearless devotion, the reason I exist for such a time as this. Chance I've been blessed with, my spirit is tested. Even if I die, I live for such a time as this. There is a time for everything, for birth and a time to die, for peace and time to fight. But it
Am hindered or scared? Who knows that my life might not be spared? Fear, don't you try to stop me now. Don't hold me still. Risking it all, I hear love's call. My life is fulfilled for such a time as this. I cannot resist when I have been chosen. Fearless devotion, the reason I exist for such a time. With my spirit is tested. Even if I die, I live for such a time as this.
That is so beautiful. Michelle Gold. Now she's another nice Jewish girl like me who found the truth about her Messiah. Stay tuned because I'll be speaking with David Simon. He too found his Messiah. Oh, there's a lot of Messianic Jews in this world, I'm telling you. Right now, let's hear from my newest sponsor, UCC United. What am I saying? Yes, Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester.
Have you been looking for a chiropractor in Rochester? Unlike conventional medicine, which focuses on attempting to treat disease once it occurs, the upper cervical chiropractic care offered at Upper Cervical Chiropractic of Rochester emphasizes the importance of improving your health in an effort to reduce the risk of pain and illness in the first place. They will help you express life fully. They have been offering high-quality upper cervical chiropractic care to Rochester and upstate New York since July 2013. With state-of-the-art complete postural cone beam CT scans and complete neurological diagnostic testing equipment, they work to determine if they're what you need to get your life back. If you would like to find out if they can help your next year to be better than the last several, please book a no-charge consultation and initial examination today. Get your life back. Give them a call at 585-474-3739. Upper Cervical Chiropractic Care of Rochester, located at 1280 North Winton Road.
Check them out online, www.uccroc.com. Yeah. Okay. So do you know the story about Esther? There was a time where she really hadn't been summoned to see her king for maybe a month. And it was a fact that if you came to the king without being summoned, if he did not hold out his scepter to you, you could be put to death. Well, she took a big risk because she went to see him. Well, he did hold out his scepter. And the rest is history. But here's a beautiful song, Elena Watson, Touch Me With Your Scepter.
Touch
such a gorgeous song. Oh my goodness, Elena Watson. Next, let me tell you about excellent air heating and cooling. Yes, we still need our heat. Thank God for heat. Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, they're a family-owned and operated business. They've been around a long time, darling. Give them a call at 889-7840, 585-889-7840. They will take care of your heater right now, but in a few months, you're going to want to call them to take care of your air conditioner. Yeah, I said it. So there, Excellent Air Heating and Cooling, because they are excellent. Now, you know, I play only excellent music. This next song always reminds me of my daughter when she played Queen Esther in a Purim play. And this song just, I can't even go into it. It's a long story. But here's Barry and Batya Siegel, Shimcha Kadosh, O Holy One.
If you're hungry and in the mood for something different, I highly recommend the Europa Cafe and Deli. It's at 1694 Penfield Road. They're open Mondays, Tuesdays, Saturdays from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., Wednesdays and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., Sundays from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. Europa Deli is a gourmet food store that specializes in European foods from countries such as Russia, Ukraine, Moldova, Bulgaria, Germany, Poland, ex-Yugoslavia, and more. They have an extensive variety of imported foods, smoked meats, seafood, cheese, pastries, and more. Their cafe and bakery has the most delicious baked items. You just have to try it. Europa Cafe and Deli, 1694 Penfield Road. Call them at 585-385-2040. Come in and tell them that you heard about it on Bagels and Blessings. Shalom.
Bagels and Blessings is a ministry of Shammai Yisrael Messianic Congregation. Your tax-deductible contributions will help keep this program on the air. Make checks out to Shammai Yisrael, that's S-H-E-M-A-Y-I-S-R-A-E-L. And please put Bagels and Blessings on the memo portion of your check. Send your contributions to Bagels and Blessings, Post Office Box 192, Scottsville, New York, 14546-0192. And come and experience Messianic worship in person Saturday mornings at 10 a.m. Shammai Yisrael is located at 1326 North Winton Road, about a half mile south of Empire Boulevard.
Come on, baby, I need bagels.
Gimme, 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 gimme bagels tonight.
Okay, this is your chance to win a coupon for bagels. So listen carefully. Listen carefully. I want you to get ready. The number is 222-2990. The story of Purim tells the story of the courageous young Jewish woman, Esther. Who was it that said to her these words? But who knows that you have been called to such a time as this? For if you keep silence at such a time as this, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another quarter, but you and your father's family will perish. Who knows? Perhaps you have come to royal dignity for just such a time as this. Who said those famous words to Esther? 222-2990. Come on, I want those phones to ring off the hook now. Come on, call. I'm so glad somebody had the knife, the chutzpah to call. I mean, it's not so scary. You know, when I was younger, I used to love to call the radio. Who doesn't want to win, especially when it's a coupon for bagels? I'm telling you. Okay, who we got?
St. Jackson.
All right. You need to turn off your radio, dear. Turn it down, okay? Okay, did you turn your radio down? Good. We have a little bit of a delay. That was really strange there. Okay, so what's the answer?
It's Mordecai.
That is right. Mordecai is the answer. So you're going to get a coupon for bagels. Does that sound good?
Yes, but I'm not interested in bagels. Kyle, you know, I always prefer getting a nice reading book. I get two books already, and I read them, and I love them.
Oh, good. You still need to turn your radio way down because we're getting an echo. Okay, then. Well, make sure that you stay on the line, and I'll see if I have a book or maybe a CD. I'll see what I can dig up for you. But I'm really glad that you called, okay? Thank you so much for calling. So make sure that you stay on and give your address out, all right, dear?
Okay.
God bless you. All right. Shalom, shalom. This is Ethel Chadwick, and you're listening to Bagels and Blessings. And if you missed what I said earlier, I'm really excited that last week we raised about $700 for the variety show and bake sale, and we had lots of fabulous entertainment. I mean, we had this 12-year-old girl who belted it out, and she sounded like she was a 30-year-old professional singer. I mean, it was just incredible. And I also mentioned that if you wanted to donate to Bagels and Blessings and you hadn't had a chance to do that yet, if you weren't able to come to the big event last week, then you can go to www.bagelsandblessings.com and you can conveniently just click on the donate button. And then thousands of people listening right now, millions of people listening right now who didn't get a chance to come to the variety show can show their support and say, yes, I want to keep Bagels and Blessings on the air. So you go to bagelsandblessings.com and you click on the donate button, and I will say hallelujah and glory to God. All right. Well, I know we're getting in the process of calling Mr. David Simon. He is a minister, an author, a speaker. Do we have him on the line? All right. All right. Well, just so you know, this is a really cool story. My son, Michael, he knows everybody. I mean, people think I know everybody. Michael knows everybody. And when he lived in New York City, he used to attend these wonderful Shabbat dinners put on by Jews for Jesus. And a lot of the young people would go to these Shabbat dinners. And he made lots of friends there, lots of friends. Well, last summer, our nephew got married, and we were in Williamsburg, Virginia. We're just walking along on the street, and Michael gets a text that his friend is in Williamsburg at the same time we are. And he goes, well, hey, maybe you can meet us on the street. We met up with his friend and her father. Her father was David Simon. And we're chatting, and he hands me his card. I said, well, maybe I could interview you sometime. And, you know, and I had the card, and I put it on my shelf, and, you know, life gets in the way. And then, of course, we had a big wedding to plan in the fall when my daughter got married, and I kind of forgot about it. And then recently, there's the card. I'm like, oh, kosher copy, David Simon. And so I contacted him, and he's like, oh, yes, I remember meeting you on the streets of Williamsburg, Virginia. I mean, you know, who doesn't? And who doesn't remember meeting me? Anyway, so the rest is history. And he's now on the line. So shalom and welcome to Bagels and Blessings, Mr. David Simon.
Shalom. Hello, Ethel. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to talk to you. You know, you never know who you're going to meet on the streets of Williamsburg, Virginia.
God orchestrates meetings between people, and it's always interesting who you talk to and what witness or what good word you can have from the Lord or share.
Amen. So inquiring minds would love to hear your story. I know you were raised in a Jewish home. Tell me a little bit about that. Was it a religious home?
We were a Reform religious home, and I grew up in Coral Gables, Florida, just south of Miami. My dad's family moved to a little town in the area of about 3,000 people in 1926 named Miami Beach.
Uh-huh. Great. And did you grow up observing the holidays?
I grew up observing most of the holidays, of course, Passover and Purim, and a lot of fun holidays that the Jewish people celebrate. We would... I was digging through some of my pictures the other day, and I saw some of the costumes that I wore to Purim events at the synagogue.
So you celebrated all those holidays. That's wonderful. What about any knowledge of God in your life? Because I also grew up in a Jewish home, and we didn't talk about God that much. What was your feeling about God?
Okay, we talked about God quite a bit in our home. We went to Sabbath school, Sunday school as I was growing up. We lived in Coral Gables until I was about 11 years old, and then we moved north to Boca Raton. But until that time, we attended the synagogue regularly. My dad went back to school, and so during the year and a half we lived in Boca Raton, we did not attend, but then we moved to Tallahassee, Florida. And we attended the synagogue in Tallahassee. We talked about God. I was happy in my Jewish faith. I would say I received a fairly good education. I know as far as the love of God, I received a good education.
That's wonderful. Now, did your family or Jewish cousins, anybody, did they ever say anything to you about the Christians or Jesus, or did you have any thoughts about him at all?
When I was growing up in the synagogue, the first introduction to Jesus was that my teachers would tell me that he was probably a fable, but for those who thought he was real, they introduced me to Jesus the lunatic and said he's definitely someone who was crazy because he thought of himself as God.
Wow.
During that time, I remember in my heart, you know, it troubled me some. Why would they say this? But that was the extent of my knowledge of who Jesus was.
So, David, somewhere along the way, you did find out that Jesus is for the Jew as well as for the Gentile. How did that happen, David?
It began the first positive conversation I had about Jesus was when I was in confirmation class in the synagogue. The rabbi did a class on comparative religion, and we studied all the different religions of the world. When we came to Catholicism, the rabbi told me that the Catholics believe that Jesus is the Jewish Messiah, and he shared about six Bible verses that told about the Messiah who was to come, and they said that they based their belief on these verses. But at that time, I was about 15 years old. The rabbi didn't believe. I didn't believe. I must have been 14 because it was in ninth grade I took that class. And so I just continued with my life, knowing the rabbi had mentioned this, but still satisfied with my Judaism. When I went into 10th grade, we moved to Fort Walton Beach, Florida. And for the first time, people in school began to tell me about Jesus and try to witness to me. And my friends would tell me verses like John 3:16 or passages out of Romans, and I would promptly tell them that those verses were not part of the Bible. They were part of the Christian Bible, but of course they were not part of my Bible.
Oh.
And so I wrote them off in what they were telling me. Eventually, some of my friends started talking to me about scriptures out of my Bible, and there were passages like Isaiah 53 or Isaiah chapter 7, in which they would share with me some of the same prophecies that the rabbi had talked to me about and some other prophecies. But like I told you, I was satisfied in my Judaism, and I basically wrote them off, and I tried to get out of talking to them about religion because I wasn't interested in their religion.
That's an interesting point you make. There are a lot of Jewish people who are, as you say, satisfied in their religion. And so I often wonder, what is it going to take to get them to see the truth? So what did it take for you to finally understand and see the truth?
I told you when we talked about the holidays, my family observed most of the holidays.
Uh-huh.
The one holiday that we really didn't participate in, although we knew what it was Yom Kippur.
Oh.
My father was opposed to fasting, and so we did not observe Yom Kippur. But by this point, I was 16 years old. My birthday is in October, which is the time period of the World Series. And as I was contemplating, because I was interested in pleasing God and doing right for the Lord, in contemplating, what I was told when I was growing up was that there's a book of life, and each year your name needs to be inscribed in the Book of Life. And the way to do that is during the period of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, you ask anyone that you've sinned against for forgiveness. I always wondered about that because how do I remember if I've wronged someone 364 days ago? So I wasn't sure of that part of it. And then the second part of it is you go to synagogue if you're successful at getting forgiveness from fellow man, you go to synagogue and then you pray and ask God to forgive you. And if you're successful, your name is inscribed in the book of life for another year. Well, I began to think I had not been in synagogue on Yom Kippur. And, once I figured, okay, God, since my 13th birthday, when I became a man, God was merciful. The second year, he probably wasn't as patient, but, three strikes and you're out.
Oh, gosh.
And at that point, I thought about what my Christian friends had told me, that there was a man named Jesus who grew up in a Jewish home who forgives sin. And that's what I needed. And the words that they were sharing with me and the memories from my rabbi in Tallahassee were verses from the Old Testament, from my Bible, the Tanakh, that talked about this Messiah whose name was Jesus and could give forgiveness. And so I decided that I needed to find a way of asking Jesus for forgiveness. Now, the way that came about is that there's a long story here. My mother was having cancer surgery. We lived in Fort Walton Beach, but they couldn't take care of her surgery in Fort Walton Beach, so she was in a hospital in New Orleans. And the night before surgery, she saw a lady who was sitting by herself, and my mother asked her, "Do you want some company?" So she sat down next to the lady. And the lady was from like 15 miles from where we lived and went to a Methodist church. And the lady shared her faith in Jesus Christ with my mother. And my mother thought, if I die on the operating table and God is Jewish, I'm safe. But if God is Christian, then I need to worry. But with this offer the lady's giving me, I can be safe both ways. And so she received Jesus as her Savior on that day.
Wow.
She came home, and my older sister, who was a college student at the time, came home after the surgery to see how she did. And I overheard my mother talking to my sister about Jesus. Now, I had never heard my mother talk about Jesus before. So I was sure it wasn't coming from her. So I asked my sister, Anna, how I could become a Christian. And Anna said, "I don't know." But being the college student she was, she says, I really don't have time to tell you. I'll come back and tell you how to become a Christian. So she went back to school. She called a friend who was from Campus Crusade for Christ, who shared with her the four spiritual laws. In the sharing of the four spiritual laws, there's a point where you're asked if you want to receive Jesus. And the guy who was sharing with her turned to her and said, "Normally, if someone says yes, I lead them in prayer to receive Jesus as their Savior." He said, "But you can't do that, but your brother's Jewish, so he knows how to pray. So if you'll just tell him to pray the prayer, little prayer that's in this book, then he'll be asking Jesus to forgive him and come into his life." And my sister said, "Well, why can't I leave my brother in prayer?" And he said, "You have to know Jesus to be able to lead someone to Jesus." And she said, "You mean if I pray to ask Jesus in my life now, I can lead my brother in prayer?" And he says, "Yes." And so my sister prayed to receive Jesus. And then a couple of days later was back home for my birthday. And she showed me the book and she shared her newfound faith with me. And I prayed to receive Jesus in my life.
Oh my gosh, David, I'm thinking dominoes. Your mother, your sister, and you. Were there others?
All at once.
Were there others?
Not at that time. My grandfather evidently had received Jesus and was part of a Messianic group in Miami Beach. for a while, but never, you know, I did not know that. My mother knew that, but he really hadn't shared his faith with myself or my family. I found out after I became a Christian that he was a Christian. My father received Jesus about 9 years after I did.
Your father also. And this is amazing.
And I have a younger sister who is the stalwart of the Jewish faith and has put up a resistance to leaving the faith because she's the only one in our immediate family who is still considers herself, or I mean, I consider myself as Jewish, but she considers herself as the Jewish person in the family.
Yes, I have one of those in my family. I know what you mean. Wow. Let me just give a quick identification. This is Ethel Chadwick. You're listening to Bagels and Blessings, and I am on the phone with minister, author, and speaker David Simon, and he has just shared how he came to know Jesus as his Messiah. What about the rest of your Jewish relatives? Did you get any flack from them?
Well, my mother asked me not to talk to them. And so for a time period, I didn't. We were in Fort Walton Beach. They were down in South Florida, so I didn't see them that often at that point. But I did want to share my faith with them. God called me into ministry fairly soon after I became a Christian. I was finished high school, and I began in my college work preparing to become a pastor. And my mother told me that when I finished college, I could speak to the relatives. And over time, I did. Most of them were open to what happened to me, but did not receive Jesus themselves. I mean, we had some interesting discussions with them. I have a cousin, Jamie, who eventually did. And as I say, the other relatives were open, but to my knowledge, have not become Christians.
Well, David, what if somebody's listening right now who is Jewish and they're still holding out and they say, hogwash, can't be true, Jesus can't be the Messiah. What would you say to them?
Over the last 40 years that I've believed in Jesus as my Messiah, I have found the assurance of salvation that I don't see as readily available within the Jewish faith. It's you always sort of wonder, am I saved, or have I found forgiveness, or have I not found forgiveness?
Right.
Being a student of the Bible, I know that in 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, and along with the destruction, the Yom Kippur sacrifice and the priesthood came to an end. 40 years before the temple was destroyed, Jesus died on the cross to offer forgiveness because he already knew that the temple was going to be destroyed and the sacrifice was going to come to an end. As someone of the Jewish faith, my Bible is still a Jewish Bible. The Tanakh, the Old Testament, is written by people of the Jewish faith, for people of the Jewish faith. The New Testament, with the exception of Luke, is a Jewish book and celebrates the Jewish faith. But the salvation that comes once and for all through the promised Messiah that God gave.
Praise God.
And so I would encourage people of the Jewish faith to look and see that Jesus is the solution to the offering that no longer takes place in Jerusalem, in the temple.
Yes, absolutely. Fabulous. Now tell me about some of the books that you've written, and I understand that there's a special that's going to be starting tomorrow.
Yes, there is. I've written 5 books now. The first one, the first one was supposed to be a Passover Haggadah, and I've written a book, A Christian Passover in the Jewish Tradition. And the writing of that book took place when I was in seminary, and I was part of a Messianic community in Louisville, Kentucky. They were affiliated with the MJAA, And they came to me and they asked me if I would put together a Messianic Passover Haggadah. Up until that time, what existed was the Jewish Passover Haggadahs, and then we would slip in a New Testament verse or something that applied. And what they wanted and what I did is I wrote a Passover Seder where it just, it flowed, where we're not inserting verses, but the whole order of the Passover follows the traditional Passover, but it also looks toward the upper room as Jesus was celebrating his Last Supper. And so I have that book. It's in print. It's on Kindle. The Kindle version will be on sale next week, starting tomorrow at, I think it's about noon, until Saturday it will be on sale.
Do we need a special code?
$6.99. You go to Amazon.com and you put in the words, a Christian Passover in the Jewish tradition, and then you'll see the book. It's got a cluster of grapes on the front of it, and that picture was painted by my grandmother.
Really?
When I was young, we used to celebrate Passover. My grandmother would be there, and she had two sons, my father, who was the youngest son, who has three children, and my uncle, who was the oldest son and would lead the Passover Seder, and he had three children. And so I have memories of growing up, and so the front of my book is sort of a dedication to my grandmother, who was there at the Passover Seders with me.
That's wonderful. So the price will be $6.99 as of tomorrow around noon. They don't need a special code or anything to get that price, correct?
No. If they go to Amazon, and they'll see it on Kindle for $6.99. And so they do not need any special code.
A Christian Passover in the Jewish tradition. That sounds amazing. And any other books that you've written, are they also on Amazon?
They're also on Amazon. My two latest books, what you have to do is you have to hit the author name, David Simon. I would say put in David Simon, but there's eight of us across the country. And so if you put in the name David Simon, you're going to come up with the wrong author.
Oh.
I'm a little guy. I'm not that big of an author yet. So.
Now, I understand you wrote a book with your daughters. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes. Another book I wrote was Spring, Connecting with God. And really, with the Christian Passover and the Jewish tradition, when my wife said, you need to put that in print, and as I was praying about putting it in print, what came to my mind first was how the Passover came about. And that's what Spring, Connecting with God is about. It's about our relationship with God. And through the history of the Jewish people, you can tell what their spiritual temperature is by whether they're celebrating the Passover or not, because the Bible tells us in the days of Hezekiah and the days of Josiah, they had to reinstitute the Passover because the people had forgotten it. And then I continue, because I'm a Christian, with the Passovers of Jesus. And the New Testament tells us about four Passovers that Jesus celebrated, and they're all unique and different. One of the things people often wonder about is when Jesus was in Jerusalem at 12 years old, how his parents could just leave him in the temple and, you know, leave town with him in the temple and not know that he was with a group. But if you understand what Passover was in the days of Jesus, you understand it was an event where the whole community came together to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover near the temple. And as a 12-year-old boy, I would be sleeping in my best friend's tent because this is a time when the whole community is there. And so when Joseph and Mary left Jerusalem, they thought Jesus was with his best friend until it came that night and they checked on him and he was not. When I look at the Passovers, the second Passover of Jesus' ministry, the first Passover, he was talking to Nicodemus. The second, he was feeding 5,000. I found the four sons just popped right out of the text in John chapter 6. And so I write about the Passovers and the spiritual condition in our connection with God in my book, Spring Connecting with God. And my daughters have also contributed, both in the Passover Seder and in Spring Connecting with God. That's a shared book, and I think you know my daughter, Chelsea.
Yes.
And so they wrote the book with me. I sort of wrote the book, and then I passed it on to them. And they put down their thoughts, and they added to it. And so it's a collaborative effort between all three of us.
That's wonderful. You must be a proud papa.
I really am. God has blessed me, and with both of my daughters. They love the Lord. I did a good enough job teaching them the Jewish traditions, and so they honor the Jewish traditions, but they're also Christians and understand where their salvation comes from.
Right, and just to explain, if you're listening for the first time, Christian does not mean Gentile. It doesn't mean you're not Jewish. Christian is a follower of the Christ, the Mashiach, the Messiah. So you can be a Jewish Christian. That used to trouble me before I understood what it really meant.
Right. I think I've been a minister for more than 30 years, and my work has been teaching people the Bible from, I'm a minister of education, from the youngest children all the way up to senior adults. And sometimes as I'm working with people, and I've worked mostly in Gentile communities, I see that they miss some things of beauty, some things where they would gain understanding by not understanding the culture in which Jesus was raised, the Jewish culture.
Yes.
Jesus comes from a background where the faith in God was strongly taught, where there were miracles that God had accomplished for his people, like bringing them out of the land of Egypt, that form the core of our Bible itself. And people just miss out on the pictures and illustrations that are there within our faith because they see in too narrow a bandwidth sometimes.
They do. Well, I can't believe that we've actually come to the end of our time together. If you quickly could mention if there's any prayer needs that you have. We have like a minute left. Is there anything you'd like us to be praying for?
I am going to Israel in the month of May with a group, and then I'll continue in Israel for a couple months after that doing two digs. So just pray for the group that I'm taking to Israel to take a lot out of the trip and for people to be safe on the trip and for things to be safe at home.
Amen. Absolutely. Thank you so much, David, for taking time out of your schedule to talk with me on Bagels and Blessings. And I hope to hear from you again when you get back from Israel and we can talk further about all the things that God is showing you. And I am very excited to have a new friend, and I wish you well.
I look forward to that. Thank you for calling and interviewing me.
You're welcome. God bless you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
All right, this is Ethel Chadwick. That was my wonderful interview with David Simon, and that will be put on a podcast probably by tomorrow on my Bagels and Blessings Facebook page. Right now, it is time for the Aaronic Benediction with Phil Klein.
Vikunecha Yes Adonai Paramalecha V'yasem lecha Shalom.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. This is Ethel Chadwick saying Shalom Aleichem, peace be with you. Remember that every day of your life is an opportunity to be a blessing to someone. Thank you again for listening to Bagels and Blessings. I'll be back live in the studio next week. Have a wonderful, wonderful day. And thanks again for listening to Life AM 990 on WDCX. Shalom.